Welcome to Newest, Latest, Best, the quick daily show to keep you in the know with all of the newest information, latest releases, and the very best that games have to offer. I'm Jeff Cannata, and today is Thursday, December 28th, 2017. As we have been doing for the last couple of weeks, we're counting down the last days of 2017, looking back at the best of the best in video games based on what you guys like. I asked you to send in your top three games of 2017 and include at least one game, either as one of your three or as an additional fourth game, that you think nobody else is going to talk about, or not enough people are going to talk about. A sleeper that needs more attention here at the end of the year, deserves another mention, but probably won't be in that big list of AAA games that everybody is bringing up as Game of the Year. And you guys have really come through. Awesome call-ins. Thank you so much. There's still a couple of days left here in 2017, so if you want to get your list in, don't hesitate. Download that Anchor app, press the call-in button on Newest, Latest, Best's station, and you can send in your voicemail right to me. It's super easy, and I'd love to hear your games of 2017. So without further ado, let's check in with Tim and his list of his favorites for the year.
Hello, Jeff. This is Tim calling in with my top three games of the year. Number one being Legend of Zelda Breath of the Wild. Number two being Night in the Woods. Just the emotional story in that really just got to me. Number three, now being as polished as the other ones, being Friday the 13th. But I think the whole being the hunter or being the hunted in that game is just a thrill that can't be matched. And number four being a game that I think no one will talk about is Blossom Tales. It did just come out, but it is a top-down Zelda-like game that I think people should look for and is on the Nintendo Switch. All right. Thank you, and have a nice night.
Thank you so much, Tim, for sending in your list. I happen to know Tim a little bit. He is a big supporter of the We Have Concerns podcast that I do on Patreon, and I see him on our hangouts that we do once a month. So I happen to know that Tim is a big Zelda fan. He's got, I think, a whole collection of Zelda t-shirts that he always wears. So it's no surprise to me that Breath of the Wild tops his list of best of 2017. Certainly a game we've talked about quite a lot, and one that I know is going to go down in the pantheon of amazing releases, games that we'll be talking about for years and years to come. Certainly, I think Zelda Breath of the Wild is going to have a ripple effect on the rest of the industry. I would suspect we will see more games trying to do what Breath of the Wild has done, trying to tear down the rigid structures of what an open world game has been, and do something a little more freeform, a little more open. And I also suspect we will start to see perhaps a move away from limits on where you can climb in games, where you can go. Zelda really proved that taking those limits off and allowing the player to define what is reachable, allowing, you know, put together enough recipes of stamina stuff, figure out gear to wear and supplies to bring, you can get pretty much anywhere in that game. And that's a very liberating feeling. And it makes going back to old school, you know, look for the glowy yellow line handhold area where you can climb, seem super old fashioned and very video gamey and limited, I think. And I think we're going to see a lot of developers move away from that in the future. So clearly, Breath of the Wild, I think, is going to have major ramifications for the industry. And we will look back on 2017 and that game as a turning point In the same way we look back on other big games, other big Nintendo games, you know, like Super Mario 64 or something that really paved the way for games that came after it. Number two, Night in the Woods. Maybe the fourth or fifth person that we've talked about here at the end of the year that has put Night in the Woods on their list as best games of 2017, and I have not played it. So lots of motivation for me to get on board with Night in the Woods because so many of you are bringing it up as one of the games that really affected you this year that you really felt emotionally connected to. So seriously, a game I want to check out. So I'm going to have to make some time in 2018 to play Night in the Woods. And then I love the fact that you brought up Friday the 13th. It is a game, as you said, not as polished as many of the others that people are talking about here at the end of the year. Certainly has a lot of rough edges, glitches. But a lot of people, myself included, felt like some of those glitches actually were fun. I know that's maybe giving the game a pass that it doesn't deserve, but it's true that the nature of the Friday the 13th game and the nature of the Friday the 13th franchise is that it's all about the unexpected happening. It's all about getting yourself into a situation that seems bizarre and trying to claw your way out of it. And when the game itself is glitching, when weird things are happening and you know, you're clipping through environments or you're unable to go to a place that you think you're supposed to go, or the geometry of your character gets all bugged and wonky, it almost adds to the charm. It almost adds to the experience. So, you know, it's a game that has been ridiculously weird and fun. I wish it had been more polished at launch, but I think it's interesting that you bring it up here at the end of the year as a fun experience because a lot of people have been enjoying it all year long. And then Bloom Tales. I know this is, like you said, this is just hitting Switch right now, but it is a throwback, top-down Zelda clone in the tradition of the old NES and Super NES Zeldas, and I'm interested to play it very much. It really illustrates the point I was mentioning earlier with Breath of the Wild, where for years to come, I think we're going to get games that want to be Breath of the Wild in the same way that Blossom Tales wants to be one of the original Zeldas. And that's a beautiful thing. I think we want to recapture the magic of these games. And when games are as industry-defining as these games are, they get copycats for years to come. Okay, next up, a list from Rowan, who has some categories of his own.
Hey, Jeff. Rowan from Portland, Oregon here. Wanted to call in my games of the year. So for best spark of joy in 2017, I'd give that to Mario Odyssey. Just for having literally a spark of joy around every corner, there's a new secret or surprise or something to be discovered. Best game as a service in 2017, I'd give that to Heroes of the Storm. I know I'm kind of playing to the crowd here, but with Heroes 2.0 and the gameplay update and a steady stream of new characters, that game just constantly is reinventing itself, and it's open to both hardcore and casual players, which is really quite a feat. And then for best didn't know we needed it would be Skyrim for Nintendo Switch. And I think it really shows off the possibility of a giant game being in a handheld system, which is great for someone who can't always dedicate big chunks of time but still wants a meaty game to dig into. Thanks for the show. Look forward to hearing more games of 2017.
Hey, thanks, Rowan, for sending that in. I like that you've separated your list into clear, understandable headings. Let's start with your spark of joy game, Mario Odyssey, one that has been brought up again and again and again. Certainly brought a lot of joy to a lot of people in 2017, myself included. But it's interesting, I think, to contrast it with Zelda, which we've been talking about today, in the sense that I don't think this Mario is going to have the same kind of impact I was talking about with Zelda. As much joy as it sparks, I don't think it will spark imitators. And I think that's because you can't really pinpoint one thing that Odyssey does that changes the industry. You know, I think that the hat possession mechanic is really cool, and it really works for this game. I suspect we won't see a bunch of games doing possession mechanics as a way of trying to capture that magic, because that's not really what it's about. It's about sort of more undefinable, just, as you say, joy. It's about all of these wonderful secrets hidden through the world, the way the worlds all interrelate, the feeling of being in that game. Whereas I think you can point to very specific systems in Zelda, the way the physics in the world and the way the mechanics in the world all exist independent of a specific solution to any puzzle. That you can sort of create your own methodology for figuring stuff out and solving the puzzles based on existing systems in the game. Whereas Mario, it just feels a little more nebulous as to what the magic is. I think you're going to see a lot of the stuff I talked about with Zelda permeate other games as we move into 2018, 2019, and beyond. The effect that Zelda has on the industry, I suspect, will be much bigger than Mario. That isn't to take anything away from Mario. I think it's a delightful game and certainly one of the best games of the year, and certainly deserves being on anybody's list. I just think we're going to see a much wider adoption of the philosophies from Breath of the Wild. And I don't think you can really point to one particular philosophy in Odyssey other than take away all of the penalty and give the player lots of rewards, which maybe just kind of contradicts my own point. Maybe that's a lesson to learn from that game, and maybe that's what we'll see going forward. But nevertheless, two really transcendent generational releases from Nintendo in one year on one fresh console. A pretty amazing feat. And yeah, maybe you are playing to the judges a bit with Heroes of the Storm. It's certainly a game I adore and play daily still. And yes, Heroes of the Storm, a great ongoing game with tons of ambitious, redefining content all year long. You mentioned the big 2.0 update, which was all about player progression, but things have continued to change and morph on a very, very aggressive timeline. It's amazing what has happened to that game. In fact, I wonder how you feel, Rowan, about the most recent less than successful updates to the game regarding the performance-based matchmaking. That was, I think, one of the biggest excitement points I had coming out of BlizzCon. And the fact that that system got yanked from the game because it wasn't working, the fact that they had to reset the Hero League placements this season just recently in the last couple of weeks, I think it's put a lot of a sour taste in a lot of players' mouths, and I think that's unfortunate because this is a game that more people need to play. I think it's clearly third place behind League of Legends and Dota, and I happen to love it, as you know, and I think more people should play it. All right, your third game, unexpected surprise Switch version of Skyrim. Yeah, I mean, having a game of that size and scope on that handheld system is a pretty remarkable feeling. I prefer the VR version for new versions of Skyrim, personally, although I'm highly anticipating that coming to PC because of how good Fallout 4 looks in VR. I want that. I'm not satisfied with how it looks on the PlayStation VR. But nevertheless, I agree with you. The Switch version is incredible. It's amazing that that handheld system can hold that much game in it, and what a perfect way to move through the world of Skyrim than on the go on the Switch. So, great list. Thanks for sending it in. We'll have more tomorrow.